Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. We're joined an hour early. He came in an hour early to hang out with us. Adam Vingan is in studio, of course, of DVD, coming up after our show. Wanted to bring him in and talk a little Predators. What's up, Adam?
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me early.
Yeah. Good to have you here. We were just kind of talking off the air about just the whole weekend with the Predators, but let's start with, because there's a little bit more that has come out with the trade now that I think it is official.
It is official.
That the Predators have traded Colton Sissons and defenseman Jeremy Lauzon to the Vegas Golden Knights in exchange for defenseman Nicholas Hague, a conditional 2027 third-round pick, and also as a part of that, the Predators will retain 50% of Colton Sissons' contract, a total of $1.4 million, which runs through the end of this season. And then Lauzon's contract goes to Vegas, so they don't have to worry about that.
So I feel better about this trade now that we have that extra detail about the conditional third-round pick.
I don't like the salary retention, but
I don't love that either, especially because Colton Sissons doesn't make a lot of money. The retained salary equals roughly $1.4 million. But when I saw this trade at roughly 1 o'clock in the morning, because my 3-year-old son barged into our room and wanted to get in bed with us, and when he gets in bed, he takes over. So I had to go sleep in the guest room because I had no room in my bed. And I saw this trade before I went back to sleep. And I actually, I couldn't fall back asleep because I was thinking to myself, what is Barry Trotz doing right now?
Yeah.
But this trade, this extra pick makes me feel a smidge better about it, because one could argue that at the trade deadline, because Colton Sissons and Jeremy Lauzon are going to be pending unrestricted free agents this coming season. Their contracts expire after this coming season. A conditional third round pick is probably what you would have gotten for Colton Sissons or Jeremy Lauzon in a trade at the deadline. So this makes me feel a smidge better about it. In a vacuum, however, the contract that the Predators gave Nick Hague, I do not understand one bit.
That's kind of where I'm at too. $5.5 million
for a third pairing defenseman.
Yeah. I mean, clearly they're saying we think he can do more than be a third pairing defenseman. Okay, that's great. Why don't you see him do it before you pay him $5.5 million? And maybe that was the – I mean, did he have trade protection? Did he have to waive?
Well, I believe he was a pending restricted free agent, so he would not have had trade protection. But he got more than double his previous salary.
Yeah.
And look, Nick Hague is – he is gargantuan. He is one of the biggest defensemen in the NHL.
Like
6'6", 245. So if you like size, you're getting it in Nick Hague. And – he was part of the Stanley Cup winning team with Jonathan Marchessault in Vegas, so he has that going for him as well. I don't understand the contract. Again, in a vacuum, paying $5.5 million to a player who largely plays third pairing minutes. I just don't get it. It sort of reminds me of when the Predators signed Luke Shen.
Yeah,
and I thought that contract from the jump was objectively a bad contract. Now, the Predators got out of that contract, and we'll see how that trade works out. It ultimately depends on what the Predators get out of Michael Bunting, right? But this is, in my opinion, the Nick Hague contract. It is objectively a bad contract. He is younger than Luke Shen was when he signed his contract. Hague is 26 years old, if I recall correctly. But this speaks to what you were asking Barry Trotz, Chase, at the news conference last week, and Jared Stillman followed up on it when he had Barry Trotz on his program later that day. Pick a lane, Barry. And this is Barry Trotz picking the lane of they are trying to compete for next season. On paper, however, I do not see a team that has a reasonable chance to compete in the NHL. I just think that I'm a bit confused.
I am too. I mean, like, look, I think we're both, like, I don't hate the player. I am concerned about how the money's being used. Mm-hmm. Is that fair? to say it that way. I mean, I think I like Nick Hague, but as you said, he's been a third-pairing defenseman. Yes, he's big. He's going to add more physicality. But, I mean, Jeremy Lauzon, didn't he lead the league in hits like 2 years ago?
He not only led the league in hits two years ago, he set the NHL record, which was overtaken by former Predators forward Kiefer Sherwood this past season. Sherwood broke Lauzon's record after just one season with the Vancouver Canucks. I still have a lot of questions about the direction of this franchise over the next couple of years. They are relying on a lot of players who are aging out of their primes. And if Trotz thinks that this team at this moment can compete, I think as harsh as this may sound, because I can't think of any other way to say it, I think he's lying to himself. Because the ceiling for this team as of now, and things are going to keep changing. Free agency starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
But to me, the ceiling, the absolute ceiling for this team next season is what we saw from the Predators before they sold off Mikael Granlund and Mattias Ekholm and others. A team that maybe squeaks into the playoffs and poses no serious threat to one of the top teams in the Western Conference. So if that's what Barry Trotz is trying to do, hey, do it, Barry. But I don't see a lot of upside for this team next season.
And I'll play the devil's advocate. And
sure.
Some Preds fans might say, well, you're only saying that because you're the flagship. The picture is incomplete. We can agree on that. That right now, I mean, free agency opens tomorrow. They just got out of the draft. This is the first trade. I was surprised that he didn't use some of the draft picks to acquire players, and maybe he tried, but I think that the picture is incomplete for what this roster is going to be next year. However, what I'm seeing of the picture so far, I'm kind of with you of like, I mean, yes, I don't think they're the 30th, worst team in the league, but, or 30th best team in the league. But I'm not feeling better yet. That's kind of how I feel.
I've heard Robbie say this, and I agree with it, which is the Predators this past season were not this bad so that we should expect a bounce back of some kind. The players on this team are not as bad as they were last year.
Yep.
And it is reasonable to expect Steven Stamkos and Philip Forsberg and Jonathan Marchessault, etc., to have better seasons than they did last season. But even so, how much better can they truly get? The Predators missed the playoffs in the Western Conference by nearly 30 points last season. They were not even close. They finished with 68 points. The St. Louis Blues had 96, so 28 points. To expect a team to have a bounce back of 20-plus points year over year, that's really difficult to do.
Yeah.
So, to me, I think it's okay to believe that these Predators can be in the mix for a wild card spot next season. But beyond that, I'm not sure how much higher they can go. And as you heard, Chase, I know that Jared had his sort of come to Jesus moment last week. When Barry Trotz said, I'm looking to win now, I likened it to the episode of The Simpsons where you can pinpoint the exact moment where Ralph Wiggum's heart breaks in half when Lisa yells at him during the Krusty the Clown show. And that's what it was like watching Jared react in real time to that interview with Barry Trotz. And I understand that Trotz is trying to put a winning product on the ice right now while also planning for the future. But how bright is that future? How much should we expect realistically from Tanner Molendijk and now Brady Martin, right? How soon are those players going to be ready? How good can they be when they are ready? And I think the Predators' history of drafting and developing, I would call it spotty, particularly at forward. We know that they can develop defensemen. So I have more faith in Tanner Molendijk becoming a big-time player for this team than Brady Martin, just based on history. But I feel like, Chase, the Predators are now where they were before David Poile looked in the mirror a couple of years ago and realized this team has reached its ceiling.
Yeah.
And they made the decision that the 2023 deadline to sell off multiple veteran players, it was the right decision. I remember writing a story around that time saying that David Poile's most popular decision in recent years was his decision to retire, because Predators fans had sort of had enough with David Poile and the thought that that Predators team could compete. I feel like 2 years later, we're kind of back in that same position with this team, where they're older, they've got long-term contracts with trade protection built into them. I'm not sure exactly how far this team can go. I think we should be prepared for some lean years around here. Maybe not as poorly as it went last season, but think about the Predators that lost to the Avalanche. Think about the Predators that lost to the Hurricanes in the playoffs in the COVID-shortened season. Those are the Predators teams I think you should be preparing for these next couple of years. A team that will win some games and will be in the mix for a playoff spot in March, but will either fall short or sneak in and get bludgeoned by one of the best teams in the Western Conference. That's what I think this team's ceiling is over the next couple of years.
All right, answer this, Adam. 5724. We Predators just helped Vegas watch them make a splash with some big free agent. Is this guy accurate? Do you think that's going to happen?
Well, answer that on the other side.
I will, because I do have an answer for Joe on the other side.
Also, full terms of the Jalen Ramsey trade between the Steelers and Dolphins. The Steelers get cornerback Jalen Ramsey, tight end Jonnu Smith, and a 2027 seventh-round pick. The Dolphins get safety Minkah Fitzpatrick and a 2027 fifth-round pick. So that is the full trade. Jonnu Smith reunites with offensive coordinator Arthur Smith in Pittsburgh. We'll have more of that. I'm Vin Gittin in studio with us. Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Monday, continuing our conversation with Adam Vingen of DVD.
Oh, what a song.
Yeah, good job, Dr. Crane.
Describing what a lot of Preds fans are feeling right now. All right, 5724, Adam says, we just helped Vegas, we being the Predators, watch them make a splash with some big free agent. They got rid of the Hague. They got rid of the prison. So what do they do now, Adam?
There has been a lot of reporting in the NHL that the Golden Knights are attempting to acquire Mitch Marner from the Toronto Maple Leafs. Marner is the top free agent on the board.
There's also reports that there could be some funny business.
Yes, our friend
that.
Elliot Freeman, friend of the station, Elliot Freeman, wondered aloud if there could be some tampering files charged by I believe, against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Is it against the Maple Leafs or against the Golden Knights?
I think it would be against Vegas.
Yes, I can't recall. But there was reporting over the weekend that the Golden Knights and Maple Leafs are trying to work out a sign-and-trade where the Maple Leafs would sign Marner and then trade him to the Golden Knights, and that's going to be a big ticket. Marner is the number one free agent on the board. He is going to be one of the highest-paid players in the NHL, I assume, when that contract is finalized. So Vegas, in their short history, is willing to take those big swings, and it has worked out wonderfully for them for the most part. They did win the Stanley Cup a couple of seasons ago. So in a way, yes, by retaining roughly $1.4 million of Colton Sisson's salary and taking on Nick Hague and signing him to that contract, the Predators did help the Golden Knights. So that texter's fears might be realized.
It might be. And look, I'm not a huge Mitch Marner fan. You know, now maybe with that Vegas roster, we can really see him break out. But I, like, you know, a few Preds fans have asked me, would you go for Mitch Marner if you're Barry Trotz? And my answer has been no. I think he's going to get overpaid, and that's not what they need to do.
No, I like Marner the player. I do think he gets a bad rap. He is an outstanding player on both sides of the puck, but there have been enough failures in Toronto that he wears them more so than any other player. He's from Toronto, which adds to it. So it makes sense for him to move on. But Vegas, the rich keep getting richer, man. The moves that they've made over the years, Jack Eichel, Alex Pietrangelo, Tomas Hertl, so on and so forth. They go for it. They are ruthless, and they are not afraid. They are the NHL equivalent of the Super Bowl winning Los Angeles Rams, the F them picks Rams. That is the Vegas Golden Knights. The bill will eventually come due, but not yet.
So when you look at this team for next year up the middle, and Barry Trotz has said, you know, that the hope is they want Stamkos on the wing, you know, that not to have to put him at center. We know Ryan O'Reilly, but he's 34 years old. You know, is he? And we know that he's been playing top line center, but he's not really, and he's done okay with it. But you know, that's not what he is. I was telling you this during the break. I was impressed with Svechkov, how he's kind of grown, especially towards the end of the year. But does Brady Martin factor in to next year, having just been drafted fifth overall? And I know we haven't really talked about that as much yet, but I feel like there is an opportunity for him to at least fight for a spot in training camp.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I did this research leading into the NHL draft. I looked at number 5 overall picks and how many games they played for the team that drafted them the following season. So in the case of Brady Martin, drafted in 2025, playing for the Predators in 2025-2026. Since the year 2000, there have only been 4 picks, number 5 overall, who appeared in at least 10 games for the team that drafted them the following season. And it hasn't happened since 2015. So it is unlikely that Brady Martin is an everyday player for this team. Would it shock me if he made the team at a camp, played some games, then went back to junior? No, that would not shock me.
You get, what is it, 9 games?
I believe it's 9. I think it's 9. I have to double check that before you burn a year off your entry level deal. So would it shock me if that happened? Recall several years ago, Sam Girard made the team out of training camp, played those 8-9 games. Then went back. Actually think he was traded before then, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was. He was traded to Colorado.
And David Poile then admitted to me that he was showcasing Sam Girard whole time, basically.
That was the
Kyle Turris, Matt Duchene three-team trade. Yep. So to answer your question, it would not surprise me if Brady Martin started the season with the team. But my gut tells me that if you're expecting Brady Martin to be an everyday player for this team next season, that's probably not going to happen.
Joe, read Mike and Lebanon's text.
Let me read it first, make sure it's cuss words. I hope the Trotz era doesn't end up like the Fulmer era with the Vols, where we were so excited about our guy and it falls flat. Trotz.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting comparison.
Well, we've talked about it. I think Soros, that contract, as awful as it is, will be the one that does him in. I just think that's going to happen. Look, when you sign a contract to a guy and you're 90% people like it, you feel good. This was 50-50, the Soros contract.
Yeah.
And how he played in the whatever the four Frozen Four was.
The Four Nations face-off,
yes. Yeah, that thing. He was awful. He was awful. And now you got him for 8 years? That's terrible, man.
I was saying to Chase during the break that when the Predators announced that Barry Trotz was coming back, everybody loves Barry Trotz, right? Barry Trotz is a fabric of this community. And I thought that he was coming back in as GM with a bit of a force field because he's Barry Trotz.
Right.
And a lot of Predators fans were going to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's Barry Trotz.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, I feel like that force field, it's been chipping away. And I feel like over the past year, with how poorly the team played this past season, how poorly the free agents played this past season, the Soros contract, how you feel about that, I feel that that force field has disappeared.
Oof.
And now I'm wondering about Barry Trotz and how fans feel about him. We did this exercise on DVD last week. It was a mixed bag. A lot of Predators fans saying, hey, give him some more time. Then a lot of Predators fans saying, I don't think he's cut out for this. But I do find it interesting, to the Philip Fulmer example, that a beloved figure comes back to the organization. You want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I think that's gone now. So I am curious how Trotz navigates that.
I think it's a fair question to ask. I mean, because, again, the picture's incomplete, but I look at this roster, and you've elected to keep Andrew Brunette, who we've all said, good coach, but you know, obviously there's some things that needed to change.
That's another part of it. I think the decision to retain Andrew Brunette at the end of the season also chipped away at that force.
Well, especially because you're building a roster that I don't really think fits Andrew Brunette. That's my problem.
Yeah, it's an interesting dilemma because I do think that Andrew Brunette is a good coach.
I think he's yeah.
I am adamant that he is not the right coach for this team. I don't think the makeup of this team is set up to be coached by Andrew Brunette. I think they need a different voice. I don't know who that is, but I see a veteran laden team that may benefit from a different voice. But if Brunette gets off to a bad start, the team gets off to a bad start. You know, those calls for his head are going to get louder and louder at the start of the season.
And I can tell you what I would do, and people aren't going to like it. Because I think if whoever makes a coaching change first is going to get Pete DeBoer. Now, if that's here, then I don't think that's, you know, would be a terrible move. But let's say he's off the board and you're, you know, you get to Thanksgiving and you make the change, I would bring Peter Laviolette back.
Pass.
Oh, chaser.
I know you're
shot down immediately.
I knew you were going to say pass, but I
pass.
I would.
Bring him back. Bring him back.
I think that's kind of what you need for this team. If Brunette turns out to not be the guy. I'm giving Brunette another chance because they're giving him another chance. So let's see. And it goes on. I think he's a good coach. Now, how can he adapt to this team?
Oh, Laviolette.
But I'm just saying. And Adam would just love that. Yeah,
that would be
much.
Great.
Here, I think that
I would make you go to the press conference and sit front row.
I think that Peter Laviolette has I feel like he should be able to just kick his feet back up and just – and he doesn't need to coach anymore.
Probably not.
He's a legendary coach in this game. Yeah. I don't think he has anything left to prove. I know he's a family man. Go be a dad. Go be a husband. Go relax.
I just think you're saying that because you two butted heads a little bit.
Well, we definitely did. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Peter Laviolette, even if we didn't always see eye to eye.
Yeah. So there you go. Adam, thanks so much for coming in a little early. We look forward to hearing what you and the crew have to say coming up in about 30 minutes.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Adam Vingan, DVD coming up at the top of the hour. But coming up next, our man Nick Vadiato, the quarterback for MTSU, is going to join us. He just got done at the Manning Passing Academy. So we'll talk to him about that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe on this Monday. And I want to tell you about this September, Tim McGraw will be performing at the Trinexix Rock the Cradle in Nashville. You tried to read it. A meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. Fast show today. We bring in one of our favorites, the quarterback of the Blue Raiders, Nick Vadiato, is on the line with us. Nick, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
We're doing fantastic. So how was the Manning Passing Academy? I know you just got back from that. You were there last week. What were some takeaways you had?
Oh, it was amazing. You know, the Mannings are a great family. Archie, Peyton, Eli, Cooper. You know, the camp they put on for all these kids is amazing. All the college quarterbacks getting to be around them. You know, like there's not many places or events where you have so many like talented college quarterbacks all in the same area. And so I think, you know, just kind of getting to work with those guys, getting to know them, getting to be around each other was just like a really cool experience. You know, and then they, you know, obviously Peyton and Eli sharing a lot of their knowledge. John Gruden also there as well, sharing some of his knowledge. It was just like one of the coolest things I think you could experience as like just someone who's been around football for almost their entire life.
Well, you were there last year. You went back this year. What have you learned? What's the main thing you've taken away from both years, Nick?
Just like relationships, you know, like connections is like one of the most important things in life. I think, you know, when you go to like events like this, you know, that are hosted by such great people and you build connections and you build relationships that'll last you for the rest of your life. And I think that it's just one of those things that's really important. You know, whether you're playing football, whether you're coaching, you know, whatever kind of, you know, role you have, like you're going to have these relationships, for the rest of your life. Like, you know, I definitely made friends down there, like other, some of the other college guys, you know, I've made friends in them and, you know, for life. And it's just been really cool.
You know, you see guys like Arch Manning in television and Garrett Nussmeier in television, but when you're with them, does it give you confidence knowing, Nick, that you're just as good as they are? I mean, they might be surrounded by 10 All-Americans. I understand that, but you make the same throws. You make the same reads. Does that give you more confidence heading into this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's really cool about it is, like, when you're in an environment like that is, like, you know, you're around some of the best guys in college football who play at such a high level week in and week out. You know, those guys are some of the best in the game, and you could kind of, you go in there and, you know, I wouldn't say you necessarily compare yourself, but you're kind of just like taking what you can and you're having a good time. You're getting to know those guys, like those, like the two you mentioned and endless other, like, you know, they're great people, really good to get to know them and kind of just be able to work out with them. And, you know, you see all these other guys throw and see how talented everyone is. And it's just like a really cool experience, you know, like, I would say, like, yeah, you definitely go in there and you're like, yeah, like, I can hang with anyone. I can hang with anyone across the country. And, like, you know, those guys are very talented. And I think it's just cool. You get to see, like, guys at such a high level perform. Like, that's just really cool to me.
Middle Tennessee quarterback Nick Vadiato is on the line with us here on the Chasing Big Joe show. We had Coach Mason on last week because the Blue Raider Blitz was coming through town. He's really excited for you. He's excited for you for this year. I know there's been some changes to the roster. I think he said 61 new players coming in, including a lot on the offensive line. So how excited are you to get with your new teammates and especially the guys up front that are going to hopefully keep you upright?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I mean, like you said, almost 61 new players. You know, I mean, that's a lot, right? Like, going into a season, you're trying to get to know everyone for the first time. You're trying to figure out, like, what you have in everyone, whether it's, you know, in the O-line room with the receivers, with the tight ends, you know, new running backs that we have, and then even the guys on defense too. Like, a lot of new players that I think can offer a lot of value to this team. And I think, you know, the weird thing is like, when you have all these new guys come in, like, you don't necessarily know, like, what you have in them. Like, you're not in pads, like, in the summer. You know, you're not just doing, like, a full-speed 11-on-11 padded scrimmage. So, like, you know, like, a lot of this stuff is just getting to know these guys, who they are as people, throwing in shorts and T-shirts, maybe a little bit of 7-on-7. But I'm really excited. Like, the guys we brought in are awesome people, talented, and I'm super excited to see, like, how we move in the fall camp, and then kind of like who kind of like shows like, you know, their value to this team and how we can move forward going into the year. So I'm really excited. I mean, all these guys are talented. So I'm excited to see them play some football, honestly.
Hey, who do you throw to down there? I know there's 1,000 quarterbacks. Who do you throw to?
Down at the Manny Passing Academy?
Yes, yes.
So the Nicholls State receivers, so that they host the event at Nicholls State, and the Nicholls State receivers, they, like, credit to them, they're out there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They catch for all the college guys every single day. Those guys are warriors. In the heat, you know, they have their summer workouts and they come out and catch for us. So they did an awesome job. And then on Saturday, some receivers from Tulane, some receivers from LSU, some receivers from South Alabama, Southeast Louisiana, they all come out. We have a big throwing session. So, like, a lot of credit to those guys. Like, they're really good at what they do. So I appreciate them taking their time to, you know, allow us to throw to them.
Yeah. Did you get to spend any individual time with Peyton or Archie or Eli or John Gruden?
Yeah. I mean, like, on Friday, you know, Peyton and Eli, they kind of did like a private thing with the college quarterbacks. John Gruden spoke to the college guys briefly, and then Peyton and Eli also spoke to us, and, you know, just, it was kind of like a Q&A. Like, guys were able to, like, freely ask questions that they had, and, you know, Peyton and Eli were, you know, more than willing to answer those questions and share their knowledge. And I think that was just, like, that's something that, like, is priceless, honestly. You know, hearing from two of the best to ever do it, just something like that is just so cool.
All right, so what do you do for the next month? I know you report to camp late July, the opening of the new football facility late July, then the first game, of course, August 30th against Austin Peay. What's the next month like for Nick Vadiato?
Yeah, just, you know, summer workouts. We're lifting, we're running, trying to get this chemistry down with the new receivers. You know, we're throwing routes on there, trying to get timing right, seeing how these guys move in and out of breaks. It's really important for us to build this chemistry because, you know, when you bring in these new guys, you got to kind of feel it out, see how they run routes, see how well they get out of breaks. Like, you know, are they shifty? Are they quick? Are they fast? Are they more of a deep threat? So I think it's like fine-tuning these little skills to understand what you have going into camp. You know, I know me and Parker Hughes, one of our leaders on defense, linebacker, and Coach Mason, we're going to conference media day. I believe that's in Frisco, Texas, for like the third week of July. So that would be really cool. And, yeah, just kind of gearing up. Obviously, we have the new facility opening it up. I believe ribbon cutting is July 30th. That will be really awesome for the program. Been a long time coming. So, you know, it's an exciting month of, you know, all the other stuff before we can actually get to football and fall camp.
Well, Nick, we're looking forward to it. Always appreciate your time for coming on the show, and we'll see you here in just a few weeks at camp.
Yeah, I'm excited. I appreciate you guys. Always love coming on. Thank you for everything you do. And, yeah, thank you, always, of course, for all of the support, as always.
Absolutely, my man. Nick Vadiato joining us here on the program, the quarterback of the Blue Raiders, and we look forward to seeing him, like we said, at camp here in really about a month.
Love it. Cannot wait.
When it will be here. We'll come back with what day is it and celebrity birthdays. It's the Chase and Big Joe show presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Before we do that, let's give something away. We have not done that yet. Caller number three at 615-737-1025 will win a pair of tickets to see Volbeat and Hailstorm at First Bank Amphitheater Thursday, August 2nd. Caller number three, 615-737-1025. 1025. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game here on this Monday. Hope you're having a great day so far. Appreciate Adam for jumping in, Nick Vadiato, and, of course, our man Greg Poe. We've covered a lot of ground in 2 hours.
We have.
A lot of news.
A lot of news. We just found out that Brian Collins, the head basketball coach at Tennessee State, according to our friend Mike Organ, has stepped down at head coach over at TSU. Oh, wow. That's all we know about right now.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, Brian Penny Collins out.
Lots of changes happening around, man.
Changes. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. It is presented by Jarrett Companies, Inc. Their commercial plumbing and HVAC division covers all of refrigeration, service, and maintenance needs. JarrettCompaniesInc.com, above and beyond industry standards.
All right, folks and gentlemen, women, all the above. First of all, we have International Asteroid Day.
Excuse me?
Asteroids, you know, that fall out of the sky.
You know, my dad had asteroids so bad one time we couldn't use a toilet for a week. That's from a movie. Come on.
It's still funny.
It's hilarious.
Come on, Joe. Can I not laugh?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. International Sailor Moon Day. I'm not sure.
Wasn't that a show?
Yeah, it looks like a character. I don't know who that is. National Meteor Day.
Asteroids and meteors, huh?
Yep. We're having a full-on, I know it's basically the same thing, but I mean, just saying, it's on the list. National, all right, this is an abbreviation, Outfit of the Day, OOTD, is that right? Okay. Outfit of the Day?
Sure.
Okay.
Top Shop.
National I'm sorry?
No, inside joke, sorry.
It's an inside
but
joke.
But it's damn funny.
But I knew it'd make him laugh.
National Organization for Women Day. Please take my children to work day. Don't have any of those. Social media day is today, so that's to wrap up the list.
Isn't that every day?
Yeah, essentially.
Good. I would think.
All right, good job on that, Dr. Crane. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Got to get these within two. Our first birthday, he's so funny. From In Living Color, actor David Alan Greer.
Oh, he is funny. 66.
67.
69.
Nice.
Dr. Crane's up 1-0. Actor, he was in Full Metal Jacket, Men in Black, and the CSI, no, or the SCU, gosh damn it, SVU,
what?
SUV. I said, gosh.
I know you.
Vincent D'Onofrio, D'Onofrio.
Okay.
Sound it out. You'll get there.
I think I know who you're talking about.
He's in Full Metal Jacket. He's a big fat guy in Full Metal Jacket, but he lost a bunch of weight. He's on SUV or SVU.
SVU.
Okay, yeah.
67.
62.
66. God, that's a long way to say somebody's name. I apologize for that. Tied at 1. Chaser got it. Mike Tyson. Today's Mike Tyson's birthday. 59 exactly. Chaser's up 3-1.
I had to think about the Paul fight. Like, they kept saying 58-year-old.
Oh, a little inside intel there, huh? Actress Monica Potter.
What was she in?
She's in that one movie that she was in.
Oh, thanks. 47.
50.
54. Come on down here. Some more that's having birthdays today. The lead singer of Little River Band, Glenn Shortrock.
71.
77.
81. Going down some more here. Oh, Tom Drummond, bass player of Better Than Ezra. Doesn't he live here? Or the lead singer lives here? Or the owner or the creator?
46.
52.
56. Country singer, one of Chase's favorites, Cole Swindle or Swindell.
Cole Swindell is Cole Swindell. 41.
39.
42. Chase is up 4-1. One of your favorites, Dr. Crane, singer and American Idol winner, Fantasia.
28.
30?
41. Look at you act like you don't know.
I really, all I know is the Fantasia from Disney.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's good. Robert Ballard, he discovered the Titanic wreck site.
73.
82.
83. Dr. Crane, good job. 4-2. All right, now we got sports birthdays. Sterling Marlin down in Columbia, Tennessee. Oh, Sterling.
Sterling is, let me think about this for a second. 73.
82.
68.
Okay.
82. Mitch Richmond, one of the best basketball players in the 90s out of Kansas State.
54.
55.
60. Garrett Anderson, the baseball player.
35.
40.
53. All right, our final birthday. Chase is up 4-2. You guys down to the wire again. Now, Dr. Crane, all you can do is tie this. Chase, you can win. Dr. Crane's got to get it head on, though. Olympic swimmer Michael Phelps. How old is Michael Phelps?
42.
46.
Oh, at the buzzer. Chase wins. He is 40 years old. Chase wins 5-2. Good job, Chase.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That is going to do it for us today. Thanks so much for participating and hanging out with us.
As always, our message, we're going to do this message as long as we can, as much as we can. To our guys out there, I'll tell you right now, our world is a better place because you are here, because you are with us. That's why every day is beautiful, because you are here. And if you are struggling, we ask that you talk to somebody, whether it's us or on your cell phone. You can call or text 988. Somebody's always there to talk to you. And again, our world is a better place because you were here. I understand we have bad days. Also understand we have a lot of good days, and we need you here on both those days. And know that we love you, more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.